Bibles tonight, if you would, go into the book of Matthew chapter number 8. While you're learning, let me say this. By way of introduction, I guess you could say, words and communication verbally is a funny thing. You know that? And I won't tell you a story. My wife told me not to do this when we left church today, but I'm going to do it anyway because I didn't know what I was going to preach, but now that I do, it fits. I was talking to Mina today after the service. She was talking about the Pigeon Forge trip, and she asked me a question. And Tamika walked up, and my wife was answering that question. And I made a statement that was taken in a way that I really did not mean. I'm not trying to get out the dog yet, so I'm just telling you what happened. Mina asked me a question. I was giving her an answer, and Kendra went to say something, and I made this statement. I said, "Well, you don't know what you're talking about." And I didn't mean that in a bad way, but I meant that like this. What I was saying was, I've talked to the lady, I've got the information, I know the answer to the question, I don't have to speculate, I have the information. You know what I mean? But the way I said that, the way I conveyed that, was not for you with me. And I want you to understand, there is power in words. Did you know that? What you say does have an effect, and if what we say tonight has an effect, how much more so does what the Word of God say have an effect in our life, all right? And so you got my expense. I want to get your mind thinking about the power that words have, how they can affect people, how they can affect circumstances. In fact, my wife made sure to tell me after church how I could have said that differently and got my point across, that it affected situations, it affected relationships, it affected all kinds of things. And so with that being in mind, I'm going to preach just a few minutes tonight. Matthew chapter number 8, let's begin reading in verse 28. And when you find your place, if you stand with us tonight, if you can and able, in honor and reverence of the reading of the Word of the Lord. Matthew chapter number 8, begin reading in verse 28. Bible said, when he was come to the other side, in the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fear, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" There was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Notice verse 32 quickly tonight. The Bible said, and he said unto them, go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I truly love you tonight. Lord, I'm thankful for the privilege, God, the honor to be back in your house. Lord, I'm thankful for each one that made their way out tonight. Lord, I realize there's many sick and afflicted, many with different situations. Lord, you know every heart and every need. Lord, we pray for those that, Lord, were unable to be here. Pray for those just chose not to be here. Lord, I pray you touching every heart and every life. Lord, I pray just for a few moments, would you meet with us tonight? I'd meet behind the cross. Lord, I pray that you give me power and unction from on high. Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. Have your will and way in the service tonight. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You be seated. And thank you for standing tonight. Now, I began to read this and study over this passage of Scripture. And we understand tonight that this is Matthew's account of Mark chapter 5. The most common known, I guess, of this account would have been Mark 5. And we refer to it about the maniac of Gadara. That's how we refer to it. And there are some differences and there are some similarities as far as the two accounts. But realize that is where we're dealing with this evening. That's where we're at in our text. And the Bible said that you'll notice, of course, one main difference that Matthew points out that Mark didn't is Matthew says there were two men that were possessed with devils and met him as soon as he came out of the ship. Now, you say, preacher, what's that mean? Well, I don't really deal so much with the maniacs of Gadara. I don't really deal so much with the situation, but I'm interested in one thing. Now, if you've got a red letter Bible, the words of Christ in red, you'll notice that in the text we read this evening, it's primarily black. It's primarily Matthew telling us what happened in this account. In fact, that's what drew my attention to that one little word there in verse 32. There's one little two-letter word that's actually what Jesus said during this whole account that Matthew has recorded. And it's simply this. He said, go. Ain't that right? I began to think about that, and I thought, my soul, I told you a moment ago, our words have power. Our words have, they impact things. They change things. And if our words change things, how much does the Word of God change? Yeah. So I'm interested tonight in what's going on simply for the fact that with everything going on in our text, he didn't preach a message. He didn't give them a grand speech. He didn't say these grand words. He simply said, go.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that. I won't preach tonight on this thought. Brother Ken told me after service today, I don't many times give titles, so I'm going to try to put a title to it, all right? If I had to put a title to it, I'd say this. You're just one word away.
Yeah.
Watch this. Won't you understand what's going on in our text by way of introduction? The Bible says when he's come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, they made him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, seeing fear so that no man might pass by that way. Now, there's a problem when he gets off his ship. These two men that the Bible said was possessed with demons that lived in the tombs, that come out and stood in his way that he might not pass. That's what the Bible said. Now, watch this. Watch verse 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? You know what they said? It's not time for you to cast us out. It's not time for you to judge us. It's not time for you to cast us in the lake of fire. That's what they're saying. They're saying it's not time. Are you going to torment us before it's time? Heck, can I just stop and say this? I'm glad there is coming a time that he will judge all. Might have hit me right there. I bet there is coming a time, the Bible said, that the devil will be cast in a lake of fire. Ain't that right? I bet there is coming a time this evening. But the Bible said, notice this, verse 29. Thou shalt God our God come hither to torment us before the time. And there was a good way off from them, a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. Now, I've always loved this text, whether it be in Matthew or whether it be in Mark. I've always loved the fact that here's a man, Mark tells us, that this man, the Bible said, my name is Legion, for we are many. You know what that word Legion means? That means a troop of 6,000. That's what it means. Yeah. So we can speculate tonight that there are 6,000 demons or devils within this man. For sure, I've always loved God. I've always liked the fact that I like the way they worded that. They said, if you cast us out, would you suffer us that we could go into the swine? You know what they said in layman's terms? They said, if you want us out, we've got to come out, but will you at least just let us go into them pigs? That's what they said. Hope you realize they understood. The Bible said, you believe there's one God, you do us well. The devils also believe and tremble. That's what the Bible said. And I'm convinced tonight that a lot of times the devil, the demons of hell, have more of a fear of God than you and I do. They realized all it took was one word and they had to be gone. All it took was one word and they could have wiped them out. And they said, if you're going to cast us out, will you please just let us go into the swine? Now, I'm not so much interested in those demons as I am the man. Do you realize that these two men had been possessed? It had not always been that way. They found themselves in a situation that Mark said no man could bind them, no man could tame them, no man could help them. The Bible said he's in the tombs night and day. Amen. They've done all they can. They just pound him the best they could. Exile him to the tombs, out of the city. And said, that's all we can do. You're a hopeless case. There is no help. There is no hope. But do you realize tonight when Jesus come by, the only thing he did, and the only thing he said, was one little word. And he said, go. Now watch what the Bible said. In verse 32, the Bible said, and when they were come out, you know what that means? He said, go, and it went. Y'all may not be getting that, but I'm going to have a good time. I'm glad he said, go, and it went. Now watch your Bible when they were come out. They went to the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran by the lip down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city, and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they saw him, that he would depart out of their coats. Now, I want you to understand tonight. Now, let's get a picture. Here these two men are possessed with a great multitude of demons. Everybody's done everything they know to do. They've done everything they can try. And there is no help. It's been to no avail. But Jesus shows up on the scene. And the Bible said that he said one word. He said, go. And the devils went. Ain't that right? And I say this. They didn't go into the swine because they convinced him. They didn't go into the swine because they'd overpowered him. They went in the swine because he allowed them. Say, amen, I tell you. And now watch this. I want to say tonight, not only was these two men's lives changed, but can you imagine the Bible said in Mark 5, when that crowd come back, that they found that maniac sitting and clothed and in his right mind. They got right. And the Bible said that he asked Jesus to be his disciple. He asked him to follow him and go after him. And Lord Jesus said, he said, no, go back home to your family. Is that right? I'm a paraphrasing tonight. That's what the Bible said in Mark chapter 5. You know why? Because his life was not going to be the only one that was changed. I happen to believe, you don't have to agree with me, I think he was a wise back young man. Others want to get a brand new husband. I think he's a son or a daughter. Others about to get a brand new daddy. I think he's somebody in the house somewhere. About to get a brand new neighbor. There was a life change because of one word that Christ spoke when he said, go. Can I say this? All the power of hell cannot withstand one word of him.
Right.
You realize tonight, I know a lot of preaching I won't do, but I don't want to hurry. We'll preach three parts of it if we have to. But listen to me tonight. You realize how we fail to realize sometimes how when we read this word, when we read this passage, you realize this is the same God that stepped out on nothing and spoke everything into existence.
Yeah,
the Bible said, he said, let there be. And there was. Ain't that right? I tell you, go real quick. I feel like I'm losing you, so let me try humor. I heard a story the other day, heard a tale, or a joke, I guess you could say. I said that my God spoke everything into existence. And he said, it is good. Isn't that right? He created man and said, it is not good. Isn't that right? He created man and said, it's not good. He said, it's not good for man to live alone. He created woman and said, it's very good. Amen. Ain't that right? Yes, sir. Now, watch this. This is the same God that spoke everything into existence. And he walked up in the midst of this situation of these two men possessed with devils. And the Bible said that he said, go. And immediately they were come out and ran in the herd of swine and ran violently into the sea. Can't you see tonight that one word changed everything in his life? Now listen to me. I was thinking about that this afternoon. I began to study on that, pondering over it. I got 3 points I want to give you. You'll find 3 times in your Bible that Jesus spoke just one word.
Yeah.
3 times, and it's just one word that he spoke. I want to give you all 3 of them. I want to say this. I'm going to preach them in order, best I can. You say, preacher, what kind of words did he speak? Well, I want to say this. I see in the passage we read, I see a command. Is that right? It wasn't a request. It wasn't a good idea. He said, go.
Yeah.
And even the demons of hell were subject to his power.
Yeah, right.
I don't know about you, but that does something to me.
Yeah,
now, you might not ever feel like you're fighting hell by the anchor, but sometimes I do.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I've got to the place and I can't go another mile.
Oh,
yeah. And I can't take another step. And I feel like I'm going all I can do. I know the Bible said, they're talking about David's mighty men. Oh, hell, it is. All the Bible said he clay, his hand grew weary. But his hand clavered to the sword. But there's times, Earl, that I feel like I can't cling to it anymore. I feel like I've gone all I can go. I've done everything I can do. And aren't you glad with just one word he can change your circumstance and change your situation. He can command the very demons of hell. Amen. Yes, sir. To leave you alone. I'm glad for a command tonight. Yeah. Aren't you?
Amen.
Listen to me. There's times I spiritually we feel like we've done all we can do. Boy, I'm glad he can say a command. But I want to say this as far as the church. There's been much said about the last little bit. I promise I'm not going to get into some of the things we've been in the last little bit. But I got to think about that this afternoon. And I thought about that there's times no matter how much we try to prepare, no matter how much we try to understand, no matter how much we try to be ready, you mark it down. Any time a church is growing and going for God, the devil will attack. The enemy will come. Heck, and I'll say this. There's been churches we all know. We look around the community, look around the area. You've seen churches that's fell by the wayside. You've seen churches that's thrown in the towel. You've seen churches that are gone contemporary. You've seen all kinds of things. But it does something to me. It's not about the pastor. And it's not about the deacons. It's not even about the church members. But I'm that there is a God in heaven. That in one word. Say amen. I tell you. That command. And the enemy has to flee. That Jesus told Peter. He said that he's upon this rock. I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know why he could say that? Because he realized that one word. He could cast away and command. That even the enemy himself leave us alone. I'm glad there's times that he speaks one word. And it's a command to see. I see a word of command. Not only that, let me say this. Turn if you would quickly. Matthew chapter 14. Just over a few pages tonight. Matthew chapter 14. Let's begin reading verse 22. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. I see a command in Matthew chapter 8. Now verse chapter 14. We get ready to find another one word answer that Jesus gives. Bible said verse 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples into a ship and to go before him on the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Watch verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was coming out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, I want you to understand, we know a very familiar scripture. I'm going to try my best to hurry through it tonight. But I want you to understand, I'm interested that these men in Matthew chapter 8, Mark 5 tells us that they were legion, for they were many. This was not one demon, it was not a few demons, but many demons that had besieged their body. And do you realize tonight, it's amazing to me, as bad as their situation was, John, it was one word that he spoke. And now we come to chapter 14, and it's amazing to me, Peter is about to walk on water. You realize that? You can say what you want to about old Peter, but he's the only one stepped out of the boat. Say amen. Amen. Now watch this. You realize there's never been but two men in all of history and all that will come that has ever walked on water. That is our Savior and Peter. He's the only one ever walked on water and ever will walk on water. It is not a small feat. You think it is going to try to walk on water. I promise you, it's not a small thing. moving this evening.
Yeah.
He told him about Matthew chapter 8, he said, go. Now he's saying, come.
Yeah.
I ain't never seen nowhere where he said, just stay where.
Yeah.
He said, go, right. Come, move. That's what he's saying. How about you realize tonight the maniac of Gadara, one word, he said, go. Peter walking on water, one word. And he said, come. I want you to understand tonight that there in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus dealt with what was plaguing the man. Do you realize that? He dealt with those demons. He said, go. But now, in Matthew chapter 14, we know the story. The storm did not stop. In fact, we'll find that Peter began to walk on the water. And the Bible said when he saw the wind boisterous, ain't that right? He was afraid and beginning to sink. I cried out, Lord, save him. The Bible said immediately, Jesus reached forth his hand and saved him. I'm interested in the fact now he's not dealing with the circumstance, but he's dealing with the man. He let the circumstance go on. The storm is still raging. The storm is still buffeting the ship. The waves are still crashing. The lightning is still flashing. Everything's still going on. But he looked at Peter and simply said,
God.
Yeah. And I say this tonight, I bet he has the power to look at whatever's ailing us and whatever's plaguing us and say, go.
Yeah.
But I bet he also has the power in the midst of everything going on to say, come.
Yeah.
I like that word, come. You know what that means? What is? I'm bad. My wife picks on me. I'm bad to sit in my recliner. And I'll tell Andrew, especially now he's got older, I'll say, go get me a Dr. Pepper. And he'll go into the refrigerator and he'll open it. And he'd get it, he'd come running through, you know how young, he's always running wide open, all the way down in the living room. And I'll say, bring here. And he'll be messing around playing something, bring here. And finally I'll say, come to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to get up. I'm saying, you come to where I am. That's what Jesus will tell Peter. He said, you want to go? He said, you want to do something great? You want me to prove it's me? You want to do something that nobody else has ever done? You want to go down the books? Can I say this tonight? You know what I believe he's telling us as individuals? Come.
Yeah.
I believe he's telling us as a church? Come.
Right.
He's not always going to fix the storm. He's not always going to calm the storm, though he can. I'm dead in the midst of your storm. He can say, come. You realize that, listen tonight, Peter did something that no other man has ever done or ever will do simply because he come. Simply because he came. I want to show you something. How many times have we made this statement? Y'all heard me say it. I know you have. You've heard other preachers. How many times have you heard a statement there when Lazarus died in the book of John? How many times have you heard a statement when he said, Lazarus, come forth? He made that statement because if he said, come forth, the graves would bust open, everybody would come. He didn't say, Peter, come forth.
Yeah.
He didn't say, Peter, come. Yeah. He just said, come. Every one of them could have walked to him, but a woman to him. That right?
That's right.
One word. Every one of them could have come. But Peter was the only one that went here. Can I say this tonight? You may be here. You may feel like it, that you're fighting hell by the age. You may feel like there's a storm. There's a trial. It may be tonight. You just need him to say go. And can I say I'm glad he can. I'm glad he can send whatever it is that's ailing you away.
Yeah.
But then you may be here this evening. You may just need him to say come.
Maybe
as a church, we just need him to say, come. Listen, nobody ever walked on water. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I didn't want to, but listen. Nobody ever walked on water before. Isn't that right? They ain't sense. We said a bunch of times, I'm not going to get mean to you. But listen, we got to get to the place we realize no matter what it may be, if he says, come, he'll give you the power to walk on it. Say, man, right there. Peter did something miraculous, not in his power, but in the power of one word from Christ. Hey, can I say this? It may be as a church or as individuals. You just need to say, come. That thing you've been wrestling with, that thing you've been debating, that thing that you know you ought to be doing, but you don't know how. Tonight would be an awful good night just to hear him say, come. And come to where he was. And let him do great things. And all that. Said, come. Not only that, watch this. John chapter 20 tonight. I'm done. John chapter 20. Again, reading in verse number 11. I see a command. Matthew chapter 8. I said, call Matthew chapter 14. He said, come. He wasn't going to come. That word come, that's not always a command. You know what he was saying? You know what he meant when he said come? He said, if you want to, come on. Wasn't going to make it, but if you want to, come on. Can I say this tonight? He'll never make you come, but he'll give you the power to do whatever it is if you will. John chapter 20, I'm almost done, I promise. Let's read verse 11. The Bible said, but Mary stood about the sepulchre weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Now understand this evening. Let's get a picture of what's happened. Jesus has died on Calvary. They've laid him in a borrowed tomb. His first day of the week, he'd come back to the sepulchre. And the Bible said, notice verse 11, notice what's said. The Bible said that Mary stood without the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked at the sepulchre. Let's get a picture tonight. It's the first day of the week. He's resurrected, but they don't realize that. They come to the tomb. Not only are they weeping because he's dead, but now they don't know where he is.
Yeah, that's right.
Now they ought to, but they don't. In fact, John, you'll find out they're trying to figure out where they took him and where they laid him. That's what Mary's trying to figure out. And she's standing there at the sepulchre, the Bible said, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Is that what the Bible said? Watch verse 12. Watch this. Bible said in verse 12, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Well, ain't that enough to shout on right there?
Yeah.
Where it had lain.
Yeah,
I'm glad it ain't terrible no more, aren't you?
That's right, Lord.
Oh, yes. The Bible said, they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, I know not where they've laid him. So she's trying to figure out where they took him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, says to him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Now, watch this. I want you to see what's going on. She looked in the sepulchre, and the Bible said she saw there two angels in white apparel. They've talked to her. They've asked her why she's a crying. Still ain't helped.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
She's still a crying. In fact, she turned around. You know what the Bible, if I'm wrong, she turned around. The Bible says she saw Jesus, but didn't know who it was.
Right.
He asked her why she was weeping. He asked her what she's looking for. What she said, I'm looking for Jesus. If you've took him, tell me where he is. I'll go get him. Just tell me, please tell me where he is. She's still distraught. She's still weeping. He spoke to her, but still, she is not comforted.
Yeah.
Is that right? What she is. Don't read ahead. Don't take my punchline. Watch verse 16. The Bible said, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. I'm interested in something. Yours may not be like this. I don't know. But I want to ask you in the Bible. Now, I want you to tell me, all right? Does your Bible say Mary, period, and that period big red letter too?
Yeah.
I like that. Don't
you?
Oh, yes. You know what that means? That means that's all he saw.
Yeah.
That's all it took.
Right.
That was the end of his thought.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And what? He didn't say John. He didn't say Abraham. Yeah. He didn't say Peter. He didn't say James. He wasn't talking about Paul. Oh, no. But he said Mary.
Yeah.
Y'all want to get mad? Hey, he didn't say go. Hey, he didn't say come. He just said Mary. He just spoke to her. Does anybody know this tonight? They can't nobody say your name like Jesus can.
Yeah.
They can't. she'd ever known. She'd lost the best thing that ever happened to her as she went to the tomb. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be listened to, man. I'm letting we all know it's the truth. We lose a loved one, and for weeks, months, years, we'll go back to that grave and look at the tomb to try to bring comfort and try to make that right. But can you imagine Mary went and looked at the tomb and he was not there?
Yeah.
Couldn't even find comfort. Going to where it was buried. Angels spoke to her, didn't they?
Yeah.
Jesus even spoke to her, didn't they?
Right.
Till he said, yeah. All of a sudden things changed. All of a sudden things changed. Can I say this tonight? I don't know about you. Y'all look like you're about to fall asleep. That's all right. But every once in a while, I just need to speak my name.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I feel like I've lost everything there is to have. Yeah. And I don't know which way to turn. Yeah. And I don't know which way to go. I don't need a command. I don't need a call. I just need to come by and send a still small voice that comfort my heart and bring peace to my soul.
Amen.
I need a comfort every once in a while. Watch your Bible. Watch this. Bible 10, verse 16, it said, Mary. Verse 17, Jesus said to her, touch me not. For I am not yet sinned to my Father, but go to my brethren, saying to them, I have sinned unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Now watch this. You know what we're interested in tonight? Let's be on. Go with me. I'm going somewhere. You know what we're interested in tonight? We're interested in a touch.
Yeah.
How many times have you heard somebody say this? I sure do need a touch from God.
Yeah, boy, yeah.
How many times have you, I've said, I've been the other. But he told Mary not to touch him.
Yeah.
She didn't get a touch. She got a word.
Right.
Isn't that right? Can I say this? There's more power in the word than there is a touch.
Right. Amen.
And I'd help you if you get it.
Yeah.
He didn't touch the world into existence.
Yeah.
He didn't build it into existence.
Yeah.
He spoke
that's
it into
right.
existence. Hey. I'd much rather have a word than have a touch. I like the touch. I enjoy the touch. But I'd much rather have a word than I have a touch, you see.
Yeah. Amen.
Said, touch me not. But he's ordered to go tell the brethren that the head of sin. Now watch this. Watch verse 18. Mary Magdalene came to the disciples and she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Look, she come back. She didn't come back and tell him how he looked.
Yeah.
Is that what the Bible said?
Yeah.
Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples. John's telling us what she told him. That she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things unto her.
Yeah.
She said, I seen him, and this is what he said.
Yeah.
Can I say this tonight? It looks for you. I don't know your heart. I don't know where you're at. I'm trying our best to help us tonight. But it'll do every one of us good. Not to worry tonight about getting a touch. Not to worry tonight about having an experience. Not to worry tonight about having a feeling. How about tonight to come out and go to a lost and dying world and say, I've seen the Lord. And this is what he said. I've got a word. Can I say this tonight far greater? Then we need a touch from heaven. We need a word from heaven tonight. Whether it be a command, whether it be a call, or whether it be comfort. We need a word to go out for the rest of the week into a lost and dying world to face tomorrow. We need a word tonight. We need a word. We need a word from God this evening. Can I say this? Three people we've read at tonight. Three people had their lives changed from one word.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you may not think so, but you go talk to one of them maniacs and confess to the devil.
Oh, yeah.
I bet they'd glad for one word.
That's right. Amen.
You let Peter come talk to you tonight. I bet he'd say they'd power in one word.
Yeah.
Never walk on the water. Listen to me. You let Mary come tonight, I guarantee she'd say that one word brought more comfort than anything else she'd ever said.
Right.
She was a mess. She was so upset, didn't know what to do. She was losing her mind until he spoke one word, and it was Mary.
Yeah. Right.
Three people had their lives changed by one word.
Right.
Listen to me tonight, and we'll get back to my title. You're one word away. Whatever you're going through tonight, I don't know what it is. You're one word away.
Yeah.
That thing you've been struggling with, you're one word away tonight.
That's right.
That thing you've been battling, you're one word away tonight.
Oh, yeah.
That thing you've been wrestling. you one word away tonight. That thing you've been grieving, that thing you've been mourning, you're one word away tonight. That thing that God's been telling you to do, that you said, there's no way, I don't know how. I don't know how I can do it, I don't have the ability. You're one word away. One word. And I say this, there's power in His Word. Aren't you glad His Word is forever established? Aren't you glad it changes my life? There's a lot of things we can't anchor to tonight, but I'm glad we anchored His Word. Listen to me. Can I talk to you just a minute? I believe as John made the statement, he appreciated the message this morning. I'll be honest with you. I told my wife, and I mean it, I told Brother Chris, he called me and was talking to me. I told him, he said, you say that all the time, but I mean it. I thought very seriously tonight about coming and apologizing to the church for making such a mess. I mean, I felt like I made a god-awful mess of it. I felt like it had been a flop. And I was going to apologize to him. But can I say this? The Lord reminded me of something down there studying this evening. He reminded me, we don't go off feelings.
Right.
Our feelings change.
Yeah.
But He did say His Word and not return to the Lord. He did not say it. What she is, it's great to have a feeling.
Yeah.
I like to come in and have a feeling. I promote it. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But that word's what it gets you through.
Yeah.
That feeling will change.
That's right.
That I remember one of my things that I've grieved and mourned people that have passed. And I remember coming in and having church service, and man, it'd get on. And I'd forget all about that, John. It'd be great. It'd be wonderful. I'd have encouragement till Monday morning.
Yeah.
I woke up Monday morning, they still wasn't there. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I woke up Monday morning, the bill still wasn't paid. And that feeling I had Sunday morning wasn't there on Monday morning.
Yeah.
It had been so tired, I got alone somewhere and got a word.
Yeah.
It might have just been more. I woke up Monday morning, the bill still wasn't paid. There was still a loss. That's that person, that thing may not have been there, but that word had not changed.
Right.
It was still the same.
Yeah.
I can still hold to it.
Yeah.
I can still cleave to it.
Yeah.
Can I say this? You know how I know tonight I'm saved? It's not by feeling. It's by word. You know how I know tonight I'm going to preach? It's not by feeling. It's by words. Lord, help me right there.
Yeah.
You'd ask my wife, we'd have thrown the town quit a long time ago. Had it not been for a word. Smart, help me right there. Hey, listen, you know what you need tonight? Whatever it is, don't ask for a feeling. Don't ask for a good time. Don't ask for a comfort. Ask for a word this evening.
Yeah.
That thing you've been struggling with. I'll tell you this, I'm done, I promise. I'll stand real quick.